This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Alex Kaczynski is a judge who supports the death penalty and has sent about a dozen men to death, denying their last-minute petitions for stays of execution. He reflected on how it feels to send another man to die in an article called Tinkering with Death, published in the February 10th issue of The New Yorker. Kaczynski is a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. The first time he was directly involved in an execution was in 1990. He was called to rule on a stay requested by the parents of Thomas Ball, who was convicted of killing a woman bus driver during a robbery. Ball had waived his right to appeal, but his parents said he was not mentally competent to waive the right. Three appeals judges heard the case. Two ruled in favor of the stay. Judge Kaczynski dissented. But the Supreme Court lifted the stay, citing Kaczynski's opinion. I asked the judge what he was thinking the night before Ball was executed. Did the judge feel he had done the right thing, or was the judge disturbed by the thought of Ball dying by lethal injection?
Well, you know, both were true. I had thought about the case carefully. I do think about my cases carefully, and I take very seriously all my cases, and particularly cases involving people's life and liberty. So I was quite confident that my decision or my view of the matter was correct, and it wasn't just because the Supreme Court agreed with me. I felt confident in my own right. So I thought that what was going on was the thing that was the right thing. At the same time, I found it intensely disturbing, intensely troubling. I knew that in a very concrete way, I had taken part in a process, and maybe played a key part in a process that would result in the death of this, this boy. He was in his 20s. I guess he's a man, but a very young man would be put to death by the state. Now, and I found that disturbing. I must say, though, the things we deal with in the law often are disturbing. Putting people in prison for long periods of time is disturbing. Seeing the crimes that are committed, seeing evidence of the crimes that are committed is disturbing. It's a difficult area. It's kind of like being in an emergency room. You see some of the worst things in society.
I know you didn't attend the execution. When the time of his execution arrived, were you watching the clock and thinking?
Well, I was trying to sleep, actually, but not always doing a good job of it. As I said, the execution was set for 7 o'clock, and I went to bed, I guess, about midnight or so. A number of times throughout the night, I kept waking up, And the thought would pop in my mind, and I kind of sit upright and think, my God, is he dead already? And then I noticed it was still dark outside, and this was June. I knew that the execution was set at 7 o'clock, would be past sunrise, so I'd have to kind of calm myself and go back to sleep. I should make it clear again. It is disturbing. It is troubling. It is not the kind of thing that we are accustomed to doing. And I think probably the death penalty should not be something that we ever get used to and take lightly.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm wondering if that queasiness that you felt that first time, if that went away with subsequent cases, or if that stayed with you. And either way, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's fair to say that the first time was the worst, but I've never gotten used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Robert Alton Harris was executed. It was a horrible night. I don't know if you recall, he was the guy out here who killed the two boys while they were sitting eating their McDonald's hamburgers, and then finished their lunch and kind of laughed at having done so. And the boys' families were very intent on having Harris executed, and he eventually was. What happened in Harris's case is there were several stays of execution issued by my court, including one that was issued after Harris was actually sitting in the gas chamber waiting to, strapped to the chair waiting for the pellet of cyanide to drop in the sulfuric acid. And he was taken out of the gas chamber, and he essentially got a two-hour reprieve. The Supreme Court eventually lifted the final stay and entered an order saying no more stays from any federal judges. Then he was put to death. I found that intensely disturbing. I mean, I hadn't had much sympathy for Harris before that, but my God, to be marched into the death chamber and be taken out and then be marched in again, it just struck me as being sort of cruel.
What is it that you found most disturbing there, the fact that he was executed or the fact that he was reprieved, the execution was delayed, but it finally happened, the reprieve was just like a delay?
Well, I found both things disturbing. I think executions are disturbing things, and they ought to be. We ought not to take life lightly. At the same time, I think we make the process unnecessarily difficult and painful by having incredibly long delays before the execution is carried out, sometimes 5, 10, 20 years.
Now, don't the people who are asking for the stay of execution, don't they finally just want to see the person saved from execution? Isn't that the point?
Well, certainly that's the case. If you, execution delayed is maybe an execution deferred completely, so they always are seeking for a stay. But that's not the entire problem. A big problem is that we don't have enough trained lawyers to handle these very difficult cases and actually take them through to completion. So there are lots of cases sitting there, lots of prisoners sitting on death row who haven't got a lawyer to go forward with the appeal.
When you're ruling on an appeal, on an execution, Do you ever meet the person who you're ruling on?
Never. We never meet. On appeal, we never meet the criminal defendants. In fact, we never meet parties at all on appeal.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that makes it easier to rule on behalf of execution, because you're not looking the person in the eye. You're not watching them, you know, as a human being in the flesh across the room.
Well, it may be, although, of course, we don't impose sentence. We review for legal error.
Mm-hmm.
We look at whether the process was fair. And questions like whether or not the individual deserves leniency are resolved by the trial court, by the jury, by the trial judge. And they do get to see the defendant. On the other hand, you know, or at the same time, I have seen my share of defendants since I do trials on occasion, and I must say they're not all very sympathetic looking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they sometimes do themselves any good by their presence.
You write in your New Yorker article that you've never attended an execution. Why not? Do you think, you know, some people would argue anybody who's sentencing somebody to death ought to witness what an execution is like?
Well, I've never been invited, to tell you the truth, is one reason I haven't done it. And it would be difficult to do since I'm actually ruling on the case as the case is proceeding to execution. I have to be in my office or wherever I can rule on the case. It's hard to get directly involved by being present. That having been said, I think it would be a gruesome thing to watch. I certainly am not anxious to do so.
How many times have you ruled that a person should be executed?
I don't have a number off the top of my head. I've had a dozen or two death cases, and in most of them, overwhelming number of them, I have ruled in favor of upholding the sentence.
Tell us more about what you have to look for when you're making your decision.
Well, the as I said, we review for legal error, and not just for legal error. We review to determine whether or not the trial and the appeal process in the state court conformed with constitutional standards. And there's a whole variety of questions that, that we have to look at, but most fundamental of them are, did the guy have a adequate lawyer? Did he have competent counsel? Were the instructions given to the jury about the death penalty, were they constitutionally consistent with Supreme Court rulings? And there's a whole body of case law written by the Supreme Court that explains what a state must do in order to put somebody to death. It's not enough, for example, that somebody have committed a killing. There are lots of killings, from vehicular manslaughter to first-degree torture murder. There's a wide range. Even people who commit first-degree murder are not, which is the intentional killing of a human being with malice aforethought, are not automatically eligible for the death penalty. The Supreme Court has said that there has to be something more, aggravating circumstances like killing for money or killing for torture or killing for sexual gratification. There's a long list of aggravating factors. So what we look at is to determine whether or not the trial was conducted fairly, whether it was conducted in accordance with constitutional standards. And that's often a very complex question.
Have you always supported the death penalty? And tell us why you do support it.
Well, I don't mean to come off as being the ultimate defender of the death penalty. I've had doubts in the past. I had doubts before I started dealing on death cases. There are arguments about finality, about, you know, if you make a mistake, you can't take it back, about whether or not the state should have the authority to take human life. And I had some of those doubts myself until I started working on death cases. And I must tell you, it is an experience that shakes your confidence in your fellow human beings. These are not cases where somebody commits crimes of passion, walks in and you know, finds a spouse in bed with somebody else and shoots them both. I mean, that's horrible enough, but these are not the kind of cases we're talking about. We're talking about cases where people escape from prison and then spend days traveling across farmland and finding isolated families and then methodically raping, torturing, and killing them, entire families, one at a time, without mercy, without compassion, for no legitimate reason at all, not for robbery or anything else, just for the fun of it. And you read enough cases like this. You read enough cases involving people who torture and kill for their personal pleasure and who commit sexual acts on children and then stuff their bodies in trash cans. It makes you, at least gave me the feeling that maybe people like those are no longer deserving to be part of the human race. What they do is so despicable, shows so much disregard for other people's autonomy, for other people's personhood, that maybe they forfeit their own right to live among us.
My guest is Judge Alex Kaczynski. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Judge Alex Kaczynski, an appeals judge who supports the death penalty and has upheld the death sentence in about a dozen cases. I don't know if this is too personal or not, but I know for some people they have one set of instincts from their legal work and another set of instincts from their religious convictions. And I wonder if you are a religious man at all and what your religious principles tell you about execution.
I'm not deeply religious. I'm Jewish. After I wrote my New Yorker article, I got a note from my rabbi.
What did he say?
The rabbi at my synagogue, my congregation is a she, this was a different rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, who I often appear on programs for, so I refer to him as my rabbi as well. And what he wrote back is he gave me passages from the Talmud that make it quite clear that execution is an appropriate form of punishment under Jewish law. So I was gratified to see that. But the truth is, it's one of those things that one has to make up one's own mind on. It's a very difficult question. I can certainly understand people coming to the opposite conclusion, and I can most certainly understand people coming to the opposite conclusion if they don't look at the nitty-gritty of the facts. They don't look at how these cases come down,
mm-hmm.
at what actually happens in the kind of the horrible, horrible facts that the kind of inhumanity that is perpetrated.
Do you dread these cases? Do you dread having to deal with the appeal of an execution?
It's not something I look forward to, I must tell you. They are incredibly absorbing, and they come up at the most peculiar times. It's easily a area of my jurisdiction that I could give up. In fact, two years ago, I wrote a piece in the New York Times dealing with another aspect of the death penalty. And what I suggested is that we're never going to be able to execute all the people on death row. And my prescription was to limit it to the very worst people, the very most heinous criminals, and do a good job of giving them fair trials, and then, if appropriate, execute them and be done with. They're essentially reprieve everybody else.
When you say we won't be able to put to death everybody on death row, do you mean because we don't have the resolve to do it, or we don't have the court time and the number of lawyers to go through with the whole process?
We don't have the resolve, and we don't have the resources. In order to execute everybody on death row that we have on death row now, we'd have to essentially do an execution a day for the next 10 years. I just don't think we have the stomach for that. But we don't have the resources. Each case involves incredible amounts of lawyers' time and court time. They divert resources away from the other things courts have to do.
Now, do you think a lot about what is the most humane approach to execution?
Well, I do give some thought. I have given some thought to the method of execution. There's a remarkable amount of actual case law dealing with how somebody gets executed. All the kind of traditional methods of thought were humane, like hanging and electrocution and the gas chamber, all turn out to have difficulties attached to them. Electric chairs sometimes malfunction. They put the juice through and the guy lives and kind of sit there and is still talking. Gas chamber, there's evidence that it's quite painful for several minutes. Hanging is an interesting one because if you don't do it quite right, when the trap door opens, the body doesn't drop far enough, instead of breaking the neck, the person winds up strangulating. But if the body drops too far, it can actually pull the guy's head off. So it's actually a fairly delicate balance. It turns out killing somebody without leaving a mark and doing it in a way that's painless and quick turns out to be a very difficult, fairly difficult thing to do. The emerging technology, the one that seems to be accepted most frequently now, is lethal injection, where they put the drug cocktail in the vein and put the guy to death. I think at the end of Dead Man Walking, there's a scene where we're shown an execution by lethal injection. My problem with that is it's a little too close for my taste to what they do to people in hospitals, to the art of healing. And I think it also just masks the violence that we commit when we carry out an execution. It's the most violent thing that a society can do to one of its members.
And you think we should face that when we do it?
Yeah, I don't think it should look like going to the doctor's office. No, yeah, I think we ought to come to grips with the fact that we're doing an incredibly violent thing.
Judge Alex Kaczynski sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. He'll be back in the second half of our show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Judge Alex Kaczynski. He supports the death penalty and has sent about a dozen men to be executed. He sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. His article, Tinkering with Death, A Death Penalty Judge Reflects, was published in the February 10th issue of The New Yorker. You have said that one of the reasons why you support execution in certain cases is for the sake of the families of the victims. The survivors, you know, who want some kind of retribution and some sense of finality. What do you think execution does for the loved ones of the victim?
You know, Terry, that's a very good question. And unfortunately, it's a question that we have had no methodical study on. And it really surprises me that nobody has bothered to look at that aspect of the question, because it seems to me that is the most relevant thing. We know for a fact that many victims' families, not maybe all, I mean, I keep thinking of JFK, the Kennedy family after RFK, Bobby Kennedy got killed, and the family came out and said, you know, we don't want execution for Sirhan. So I know there are families out there who don't want execution, but by and large, a lot of the families do vehemently ask for the execution of the perpetrator. They tell us that having the person executed gives them a sense of relief, gives them a sense of release, gives them a sense of closure on this really traumatic aspect of their existence. And, you know, in my book, if that is true, if that is right, it seems to me that's a very good reason for us to go through with executions. If we manage to give even a small measure of relief and closure to the victims' families, then I think we would be remiss in our responsibility if we didn't take the necessary steps to give them that relief.
When you're ruling on an execution, do you try to just examine the facts as dispassionately as possible so that you can consider whether or not this appeal is justified? Or do you try to become kind of involved in the drama of the case and try to understand the personality?
You know, it's very hard not to get involved in the drama of the case. The more than in just about any other kind of case, the facts pull you along. You got compelling, brutal facts that, and it's very hard. You kind of have to steel yourself not to be swept away with the facts. But as I said, our job is to deal with questions of law.
Right.
And as best I can, I try to distance myself from the brutal facts.
This is a hypothetical question, but say you had a change of heart and you started to oppose the death penalty on moral principles. As a judge, would you feel it was your responsibility to carry it out anyways, or do you think that you'd refuse to sentence somebody to death because you morally disagreed with it in principle?
You know, it's a hard question to answer because I'm not in that situation.
Right, and you don't know really how you'd feel if you were.
I do know there are lots of laws that I don't agree with that I apply, not mm-hmm. always cheerfully, but I apply. But I also know that on a question like this, it really cuts to the core of who you are. And if a judge... or if I were really morally opposed to it, if I really thought it was really the wrong thing for a society to do, then I don't know that I could decide the cases. And the question then would become, what do I do about it? I think the right thing to do at that point is to simply refuse to participate in such cases. If you can't get yourself to, for whatever reason, if you can't get yourself to apply the law as it is written, if the law is constitutional, but for moral reasons you can't apply it, then it seems to me you have such a bias in the case that you can't be fair-minded.
Do you think at some point you will actually attend an execution?
Probably not.
Why not?
Probably not. There are logistical difficulties, for one thing. The execution in California carried out in St. Quentin, and of course they often get delayed by stays. And in any event, I can't really attend an execution in my circuit because I'm involved in the process. I could be involved in the last-minute appeal. So it becomes kind of difficult. But I just think it'd be a gruesome thing to watch. I tell the story in the New York article about a friend of mine who represented a death row inmate and actually saw him get executed. And I talked to my friend right afterwards, and it was actually a couple of days afterwards, and he looked like ash. He was completely blown away. Says the process is really gruesome. I don't look forward to ever observing anything like that. Maybe I should. I wonder whether if I'm going to be handling these cases, that maybe I should go see an execution, see it carried out. And if I can't watch it, maybe I shouldn't do it. I've never been put to the test. I've never been invited. So I can say I've never turned down the opportunity to watch an execution.
Judge Alex Kaczynski, he sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. His article, Tinkering with Death, was recently published in The New Yorker.